In the gospel reading today, we hear some of the most difficult things that our Lord is telling us. That is, we have to renounce everyone and everything. These are very, very hard things for us to be able to deal with as human beings. And it is even more difficult for us as Americans who are absolutely in love with our material junk, and we do not want to give it up. In fact, we just want more. I keep pointing out, look in your basement, look in your attic, look in your garage, look at all the things that you bought that absolutely you had to have. This was going to make you happy, this was going to fulfill you, this was going to do such great things. And now they sit in the attic, in the garage, in the basement. But there's something else that's there. If I could just get that, now I'll be happy and fulfilled. And we keep buying the lie. There's only one who's going to make you fulfilled, and that is the Lord. Not all the materialism. We need to have our hearts fixed where they belong. Now, we need to recognize when our Lord speaks about hating your mother and father, your wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even your own life, that's one of those Hebraicisms that isn't quite exactly what it would sound like in English. It is the right translation, but the meaning's slightly different. Obviously, if you have made a vow to love your spouse, he's not going to ask you to hate your spouse. I realize there are some people who do, but that's not what's supposed to happen. And so it's a matter of being able to say, we need to be detached. We need to be able to say, I want to love this person only for who this person is. Not for what I'm getting from it. Because remember, every attachment is selfish. And so if you made a vow to love your spouse, that means, as I like to tell the couples on the day that they get married, that means what you are vowing is that from this day forward, you will never ever be selfish again toward this other person. Now, do we really expect that that's going to happen? Well, not today or tomorrow. By the time you die, absolutely. Because that's what you promised to that person. That's what you promised to God. And so that's what we have to be striving for. So when our Lord says to us, well, we need to consider what this is going to require. If you're going to be his follower, think about what that implies. That we're putting God first. Truly first. Now, again, that sounds pretty obvious to us, but most of us don't do it. When we talk about looking out for number one, unfortunately, in our society, that doesn't mean for God. That means for self, looking out for me. We put ourselves first. And then we put other things like the money and the materialism and whatever else in front of all of that. And God is in there somewhere. Yes, an important element in our lives, but not necessarily the most important. And even if we want to say, no, he is truly the most important one in my life, then I simply ask this question, how much are you really committed to doing his will? Because that's the hardest thing in the spiritual life. Because we are absolutely enamored with our own will. I want to do it my way. It makes us miserable, but it's the same lie that we bought into with all the materialism. This is what's going to make me happy. And like all the devil's lies, for the moment, they actually seem to. And then in the long run, they leave us empty. They leave us just despairing. But because there's that moment where it actually seems to be doing what the devil promises, we keep going for it. We have to learn to look a little bit long-term. So whether we're looking at the Christian life, taking up our cross and following the Lord, whether you're looking at married life. Again, the Lord says you have to calculate the outlay before you start this, otherwise you're going to lay a foundation and not be able to bring it to completion. Obviously, you have no idea what's going to happen in the course of a marriage. But the question isn't what's going to happen. The question is, do I have the love for this person that is not selfish, that is going to allow me to deal with whatever does come up in the course of this? And so it's not about the other person. It's about the love that I have for this other person. That's the key. And so it is with our Lord. How much do we truly love him? Something very important to ponder, because that's what we're going to be held responsible for. Again, many people like to pull the same stunt. If I had known this, look at the cross. Did he water this down somehow? Did he not make it clear what was expected? If I only would have known, I wouldn't have done this. Really? Yeah, can you imagine? He wanted me to stub my toe. Oh boy, did it hurt. And I got this sliver in my finger. Really, did he really want me to do that? How terrible. Come on. He said, take up your cross. He made it absolutely clear what's going to be necessary. Yeah, we don't know which cross he's going to ask us to carry. We don't know what it's going to look like, but we know what it's going to be. It's the cross. And boy, oh boy, do we whine and complain when the cross gets put on our shoulders. It's like, really? What did I actually sign up for here? What did I say yes to the Lord for? Was it for the consolations? Was it because he made some promises? Those are selfish things. What we signed up for is to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength. And then to love our neighbor as ourselves, because we can only love somebody else with the love that we get from the Lord in the first place. So that's why you have to put mother and father and spouse and children second. Why you have to put God first. Because if you want to love them the way that you're supposed to love them, you can only do that if you're detached from them and truly loving the Lord so that you can love these people with the love that God is giving you. And if we look at it that way, that's a pretty good deal. Don't you want to love more? Don't you want to love your kids more? The tragedy is when I ask married people about, don't you want to love your spouse more? They really don't want to. That's really, really, really sad. First of all, because they made a vow that this is what they're going to do, and now they're not doing it. But secondly, because that's the means to your salvation. But we really don't want it. We just want to be mediocre. That's not going to cut it on the day of salvation. So we need to really look seriously at these things. Because if you don't want to love your spouse more, then let's ask the other question. Do you really want to love God more? Again, people balk at that. Well, but that means that it's a heavier cross that I have to carry. Well, that means more suffering. Well, that means in my selfishness, I am saying no. I don't want to love God more because I'm too in love with myself. Let's admit the truth. That's why the Lord is laying this out for us. If he is truly going to be the Lord of my life, then I need to let him be the Lord of my life. Am I willing to do that? This is really hard. So the difference is here that we don't have an army of 20,000 coming against us, and we've only got 10,000. You have a God who is absolutely in love with you coming at you, saying, "Will you please love me as I love you?" He's not asking something of you that he's not willing to do. Even to take up your cross, look what he did. He was willing to do it before he ever asked us to do it. So again, that's the kind of thing that we have to look at. This is not something that violates us. This is what will fulfill us. None of that stuff in your attic, in your garage, is going to fulfill you. None of it. But he will. But only if we're emptied of everything else first, so that he can fill it. Remember, that's what St. Augustine pointed out. You know, we'd like to think, well, if I start emptying out, he can fill in. St. Augustine used the example of a pitcher that's filled with vinegar, and you want to put honey in it. So if you empty it halfway out and fill it up with honey, is that going to be all right? No. If you empty it all the way out and fill it up with honey, is that going to work? No, not quite. You have to scour the pitcher first because you still have all that vinegar that's hanging on it. So it needs to be emptied and then it needs to be scoured out and then you put the honey in. God wants to fill you with the fullness of himself. That means we need to get everything out that's not of God so that we can be filled with the very fullness of God. That's the cross. But that's also the fulfillment of what he's promising. The greatest fulfillment, which is himself. So, something to ponder. He's asking us to do that. Calculate the outlay before we really make the commitment to get into this. So it's placed before each one of us. Are we willing to start the project? Not just going through the motions. There are lots of people that I know who will tell me, oh yeah, someday it'd be nice if I could do this or that or whatever. It's like, no, no, no. Today's the day. Are you willing to do this or aren't you? That's really what it comes down to. Or let's put it another way. Do you love God enough to be able to start this project? Yeah, we don't love him perfectly. But this is the only way we're going to learn to love him perfectly. We need to start. So calculate the outlay, look at what he's asking, and then answer the question to him, because that's the only one that matters. He loves you. He wants you to love him the way that he loves you, so that all those other people that he brings into your life, that you can love them as he loves them. It's a win-win situation. It's just that in-between part, you know, the cross and getting crushed and all that that we tend to balk from. Look a little further. Look long-term and look at what he's promising. And it will be fulfilled if we are willing to be faithful to what it is we promised him. And all that he's ultimately asking is that we love.